Greetings, and welcome to Burning Locks. Today is Sunday, January 27th, 2013. This is episode one. I am your host, one of your hosts, JC, and I'm here with my buddy Rick.
Hello.
We're here to discuss Guild Wars 2, a game we both play quite a bit and enjoy thoroughly.
I've been playing since the first beta.
Yeah.
This is the one that pulled us off of WoW for good.
Yeah. Yeah, WoW is like a dirty word now. We were talking about that earlier tonight.
Yes, it is. I mean, just playing the game and running around and all the fun, being able to harvest nodes and not have to fight people for them, and enjoying having other players around me because they're not snaking my kills that I need to get through my stupid quest that I have to kill 30 things of and then return to the dude with the question mark. I mean, there's just so many things about Guild Wars that's better than WoW. I could sit here and list them all off, but we can do that on another show. Why Guild Wars is better than WoW.
Why Guild Wars is better than WoW.
That would take a long time.
Yeah, that could be a long show. We're gonna try and keep this show under a half an hour each week. Usually one topic, good healthy discussion on the one topic, and then we'll get out. So, without further ado, okay.
We should probably give them a little bit about ourselves.
Like, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, if you ever catch, first of all, we are on the Darkhaven server. If anybody ever wants to find us, we are in the guild Jaded. My main is Phoenix Misfire. I play an Elementalist primarily. I also have a Guardian that I play, and we're dabbled around in some other classes as well. We've been playing since the betas, and that's about it. I mean, I primarily play PvE or World v World. I don't do a lot of solo PvP, so I probably won't have a lot to say on those topics, but we will hit on them so that the you PvPers out there can know what's going on in the game if you haven't heard news now and then.
Yep. And I do some of that. I just said doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
I am JC. I like Rick, we both kind of followed this one for years before it came out, while we were raiding in WoW, and just kind of watching and anticipating. And that first beta weekend, that was, I knew it right then that this was the game that was going to step in and take the place of WoW in my life. I play a Thief main. I don't have any other level 80s, but I have I have a 50, a 38, a 35, a 30. Two, I got all kinds, and I have one of everything. So
that's one of the great things about Guild Wars 2 is it replayability.
Yes,
it's fun to play other classes. Okay, yep. Keep going.
Oh, definitely, and that's the thing I'm thoroughly enjoying. And it's funny, you would think that okay, yes, there are options and branches you can take that, like even choosing different races and your personal story being different. All my characters are human.
Mine aren't.
And I haven't with any two of my characters had the exact same story. Like the options that they give you to branch, I may see every human option by the time I'm done leveling all of them to 80. And I'm pretty sure I will, but there's enough branching storylines there that I can change the story up a little bit from character to character and really kind of see what the whole human experience was like. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. No, I at least have branched out a little bit. I made a Norn, which is basically just a big human. And I've made one Char, which I only have the level 11. So I don't have much experience outside of the... I'm not a fan of the Silvari. I can't say the tree people ever...
Yeah.
Ever got to me.
I actually like the concept of the Silvari. I like the new race in the world and how things are there. But I can't bring myself to play one. It's like I start playing one and then I'm like, yeah, this seems kind of hokey.
Yeah, but, me too.
I don't know. Some reason humans resonate with me. Maybe because I am human. And I know there's going to be a bunch of people out here. I'm a human in real life. Why would I want to be a human in the game? It's because I'm a human in real life. Granted, in the game, I'm a female. Which, yeah, again.
Figure that out.
Why are you playing a female character? All right. We like women. As a man, I like women. Enough said. But each week for this show, what we're going to do is we're going to have the single topic, the lock to burn down or burn through or blow up, whatever elemental. I will find the lock as the thief, and as the elementalist, he'll blow it up. Or something to that effect.
Something to that effect. It's the premise behind the show name. You can see where our thinking goes here.
It's a neat little metaphor. Ooh, wow, my desktop just disappeared. Okay. Of course, tomorrow being January 28th, this week's discussion topic is going to be Flame and Frost, the prelude to the upcoming patches for the month of February and March.
What'd they say? It's a prelude to a... Let me read it exactly from them. Prologue to a multi-stage narrative that will bring big changes to the Guild Wars 2 in months to come.
That sounds wonderful. Question is it really going to do it? I mean, they still are rebuilding the fountain in Lion's Arch. And the lighthouse. And there is a lighthouse memorial in Lion's Arch now. So I guess there are permanent changes to the world. They haven't been on the grand scale I've wanted to see quite yet, though. And I'm hoping this will. True.
I wonder now, are they going to rebuild the statue and get it done just in time to blow it up again next October?
I was thinking about that. That would be a neat recurring theme, is that statue to get blown to pieces every year.
I'm a little disappointed that it looks like right now with what they have up so far that the statue is going to be exactly the same as it was before. I see the fish going up. I would have liked to see them change the design of the statue to something new since they blew it up.
There were literally hundreds of hours poured into the creation of that statue. The designer that made the statue said he spent hundreds upon hundreds of hours making that and getting it all to work. And
and they blew it up in the first month of gameplay.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure we're going to see that at least once or twice more if they keep blowing up the fountain. But Lion's Arch seems to have taken a beating early on in this game's life.
I just love to be the designer who does that. Every year they blow up my work. Every year I get to see it complete for 2 months and then they blow it up.
It's fantastic. So the Flame and Frost prelude on January 28th. Yeah, we'll take this right from the ArenaNet Guild Wars 2 site, the patch preview. The sky falls and the ground shakes in the lands of the north. Char and Norn refugees crawl from the wreckage of their homes in the Wayfarer foothills and Deessa Plateau, struggling to find shelter in the south. The call goes out for volunteers to assist victims in this time of need, when earth and sky seem to have become the enemy. This screams dragons.
It does. It definitely does. Especially they're talking about the sky. And it seems like you could have two dragons. One coming from the northern area, kind of like a Jormag type dragon, and one coming out of the earth, a la a, dare I say, a Deathwing. Wrong.
yeah, exactly. But the sad thing is that ArenaNet has already came, like day one, they came out and said, this isn't dragons. And there are no horses. There's a horse in the on the post on the official website. There's a horse in the image, and everyone thought we were getting mounts. No. There's no mounts. There's no dragons associated with. They said no dragons. Now I'm wondering if they're just kind of twisting words, and it's no elder dragons, and we may get like another Claw of Jormag, to coddle the Sunless Shatterer type event.
Maybe they'll have a different type. Maybe it'll be an air instead of a dragon like a Jormag, maybe it'll be an air elemental of some sort.
Exactly.
And the earth one, I mean, the god you came over there, maybe it's the elements. Maybe that's what they're going to go with. Maybe it'll be an elemental battle between two very large, very destructive elemental forces.
Yeah. Could be.
You never know. ArenaNet, they tend to surprise you with different, you know, they change it up. They keep it fresh. So I've been happy with the product. I'll put my faith in them until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't been disappointed yet, although I did like Halloween better than Christmas.
I wasn't a fan of Lost Shores completely. It kind of lost me. And I think that was just because it started out so buggy.
Yeah, it was buggy, but and the thing that really sold me on Lost Shores that I really enjoyed about it was that ending event, because it didn't bug out for me. which I know that really kind of skews my opinion of it, but I sat for 2 hours in combat with a Karka, pushing them all the way back to their home, pushing this ancient Karka all the way back to its home, and blowing the bomb. It was an epic war of attrition, and I loved it. It was something I've never experienced in a game before.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, and I like that they try to do they've tried a couple times now to do these big one time events. When the Mad King came out, the Lost Shores ending event. Problem is that they don't have the technical ability to handle all the players on servers at that time.
Yeah,
at one time like that, so everybody gets to experience the content in a not choppy, broken up kind of way.
Yeah, so they made adjustments to that. You see them making adjustments as they go through each of these events, and the Winter's Day event went by really well without any of these hiccups really that I saw. The one thing that I think
they
instanced it, but the thing that really kind of, it just seemed too long. Like in the end, the 3 week time period was just too long in my opinion.
And it didn't come to that grand scale conclusion that Lost Shores came to, where you had that big Karka battle.
Yep.
Tix, you did his airship over and over and over again, and you never had that big kind of payoff and battle with whatever was causing the toys to go nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of left you wanting more, I guess. But it was what it was. It was a holiday event.
Yep. New features coming in the release. The Temple of the Silent Storm Week. Temple of the Silent Storm, a structured PvP map that's been around for... when did that come in? That came in I think it came in November. So it's been around for a bit, but it hasn't been part of the tournament rotation yet. So from January 28th to February 4th, the regular 8-team 3-round paid tournaments will be replaced by 2-team single-round paid tournaments. So you get 2 teams of 8. Or 2 teams of 5. That's 5 people in tournament PvP. 2 teams of 5 playing for each other. 1 round. Paid out tournament. Using only the Temple of the Silent Storm map. After the week is over, they'll add it to the regular rotation of the tournament maps. And I think they're really just using this to test it out.
Mm-hmm.
And to test it out in the tournament system and get it lined up nicely. It's a neat map. A lot of nuances, intricacies about it that are places to hide, and so it's fun. My small amount of experience I've had with it, and I know you don't do a lot of structured PvP, so
I couldn't tell you what that map was if I had to. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm not one who enjoys PvP play as much.
That's fair enough. To each his own.
I will leave that to JC to comment on when we have PvP updates.
Yes. And then even then you're hit and miss with me. So so if you're a hardcore structured PvPer, this might not be your show. Unless you like listen to us talk about the other stuff. Of course. Next feature of the patch is an improved achievement system, adding a new rotation of daily achievements, to give it a greater variety. Like each day your daily achievements are going to change a little bit and you'll have different things to do. They want to try and get you out in different parts of the world doing other things.
To me, this sounds interesting. I'm a fan of it from right now, and it's in what they're selling it as. You know, I know you and I have talked about this a little bit, and you got some hesitance that they could get kind of convoluted. So we'll have to see what the rotation is, because the dailies, they have to stay doable in a short period of time. Yep. And that's the fear that I think anybody would have with them making changes to the system, that all of a sudden they come up with something that sounds like a really cool daily to them, but to the players it's like, I don't have the time to do that one. So when that one shows up on the rotation, you're going to be like, oh, hell, I ain't getting my daily today.
Yeah. But along with it, they give you they're giving us new achievement laurels. Little laurel branches, like Caesar wore in his head. Yeah. And what they are is they're basically another badge or token for there'll be a vendor where you can get well, right from the page it says redeem these laurels for rewards like new Ascenda gear and infusions. So I know there are other things besides the Ascenda gear out there. There's like 5 unidentified dyes. There's what else was out there? I saw a list of things. I can't remember them all right now, but it's new, and even more of a reason to do, like, when they instilled the karma jugs for the dailies, it's like, ooh, there's something cool. There's a reason to do my dailies. I really like that. Up until that point, I wasn't really concerned about it.
Agreed.
Go ahead.
Unless you were leveling, they were great for experience, but yeah, there really wasn't a fantastic reason to do your dailies, but then they added that jug of karma. And now, I was thinking, I'm kind of toying with working towards a legendary, and you need like 525,000 karma for some stuff. I just chugged all my jugs of karma that I'd saved up over the last 2 months, and I had my karma. So yeah. that storable jug of karma that you can put on any character at any time, great addition to the dailies, really gave you a reason to do them.
Yeah, and this is going to be even more of a reason. I mean, I can totally see a list of things, and depending on how many laurels you get, I mean, if your dailies give you one laurel, it could be something to work for and something that some people might consider a grind. But if the dailies are as non-intrusive as they are now into your gameplay, it really isn't going to be a grind.
Yeah, and that's what I like about the dailies, and I like the fact that they're going to be able to get ascended gear this way, because there are a lot of players out there who don't have time to run the fractal dungeons, which, depending on which set of three you get, can take an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And you don't have the time to do that. You don't have the groups always available to do so. So this gives you a way that a solo player, somebody who likes to PvE and just run around by themselves, and gives them something to do, and yet they can still get their hands on some of that gear that, as of now, is only available to you if you have the time and groups to run with.
Yep, definitely. So, good, good. I like the way it looks right now, hopefully. And knowing the way, based on their track record, I'm going to be blown away by this in a way I'm not prepared to be blown away by this yet. It just seems these little things that sound so simple end up being really done quite eloquently. Mm-hmm. And
that's a good thing about ArenaNet. They're very cognizant of keeping the casual gamers interested in the game and giving them things to do and giving them ways to get the cool gear. Whereas other MMOs are more, once you get to the max level, it becomes about the hardcore gamers. And Guild Wars isn't that way at all. You can be a casual gamer, have an 80, and still find fun things to do on your own, even if you don't have a group of players to play with. So I really like how ArenaNet keeps their game focused on the broader base of casual gamers. And if hardcore gamers want to whine that, you know, they shouldn't get the ascended gear because they're not doing the hardest content, well, you know, that's the minority. The majority of players are going to like these changes.
Yeah, definitely. I always think that vocal minority is speaks so loudly, but
they do.
These companies, even Blizzard, they have an eye on the metrics. They know who's playing their game. They know who's logging in when. They're watching it and they understand it. It's good to see.
Yeah, they got to remember that the goal of the game is to keep your broader base logging in more regularly.
Yeah.
Even in WoW, it was, even for hardcore gamers, it got to the point where I was logging in once a week because I had nothing else to do except for raiding.
Yeah, so exactly.
Guild Wars designed a way to keep you coming in every day.
Which is really remarkable because you don't have that subscription guilt feeling pulling you to it. Like, I'm paying for this, I should be playing this. And I still log in dang near daily.
Mm-hmm.
This game to play for 15, 20 minutes at the very least, if not a 4-hour session.
Yeah. And it's nice not having that subscription fee hanging over your head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so I don't play for a couple of days, but, well, you know, I can do it. I can do this today. I can do it tomorrow. It don't matter. And it ain't going anywhere, and it ain't costing me anything if I don't. So.
Yeah. And honestly, it's a good game, and the stuff that you can purchase, because they do have the cash shop system, the gem shop, I've given them. I'm willing to bet you the game's been out, what, 5 months now? I have probably given them enough money to cover a WoW subscription for those 5 months.
Probably.
I believe I have. And it's just because Payday comes up and it's like, oh, hey, I got $10. Oh, cool. Yeah, let's get another character slot. Or let's expand my bank this time. So
I've done it. I've bought some gems. I've dropped some money outside of the purchase price of the game. And that's, I think that's all ArenaNet was expecting of their players. You know, they put a good enough product out there. And the gem store is a way to, it doesn't make your character in any way more powerful than anybody else's. It's not, people get afraid of that when they hear there's a shop of that type in the game, that it becomes pay to win type of system. And it's not, it really isn't. Everything in the gem shop is mostly cosmetic.
Yeah.
And or space improvement, buying character slots, buying bank slots, additional bag storage, stuff like that.
And even the things that you look at and go, oh yeah, that's pay to win, like the experience boosters or the karma boosters, they really aren't, because there's like a singular tier of weapons, and anything where you're fighting against other players where there would be a perceived advantage, like in structured PvP, you're auto-scaled and everything's free. You can have the best weapons, best armor, the sigils, and all the stuff for your character given to you for free. It may not look pretty, but it is your base stuff, and everyone's on an even level.
Yep. Guild Wars is very much about, if you're a PvP player, even in World v. World, it becomes more about your skill of playing your class than it is your gear. The reward for high-level characters is cosmetic stuff. It's getting better-looking gear. It's getting the special dyes that make your gear look better. But in terms of performance, even people who get legendaries, the legendaries look really cool, have some special effects, but stat-wise, they're not head and shoulders above the stuff of a exotic 80.
Yeah, exactly.
So it gives you a little bit better advantage, but not much. Not for the amount of time you have to put in to get it. I mean, if you're putting in that time because you want the status symbol of having a legendary, it has nothing to do with the stats.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Or you like the effect on it. I mean, those great swords, Twilight and
Sunrise
and Eternity, the one that's a combination of the both. That's some of the best looking weapons I think I've seen in a game. And I'm really, the more I see the individual weapons, the more I'm starting to appreciate all of them as much as I appreciate those great swords.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the gem store in the upcoming patch, Baby Quaggan backpacks.
I'm sorry. I just,
there are a lot of people.
I'm not one of those people that has gotten in love with Quaggans, I guess. I wouldn't want to be running around with a baby Quaggan on my back. Now, I know there are people who will want to do that, and hey, great, grand, wonderful. It's your own taste and character, but for me, meh.
There are people that saw that when this notice came out, and they instantly went and bought gems. Right away.
I know. I'm sure there are.
I mean, and it's a big enough audience that I'm sure that is just like WoW releasing a mount. There's a bunch of people that are instantly going to drop whatever, even if this thing is 800 gems, I'm sure there are people that are going to buy this thing.
Oh, I'm sure.
Straight off the bat.
Again, as we were talking about, ArenaNet is very good about appealing to the casual gamer, and a baby Quaggan backpack appeals to... Yes. To a very specific kind of gamer.
Well, it also appeals to that hardcore gamer that he's got that, and then he's got the unicorn rainbow, and he's all in pink armor, and he's still kicking your ass.
Come on, players out there, you've seen that guy running around.
Yep.
Seen him, you have. And you've taken note of him, and he wants you to.
Yes, and I usually take note of him when I'm laying on the ground, looking up at him, waiting for someone to res me.
Isn't it true? I mean, that's the kind of player that just he kicks your butt, and he wants you to feel embarrassed by the fact that he did, because he's all decked out in purple gear.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. I know who you are. I know you. You're listening.
along with the Quagan backpack and other goodies. Guesting will make its first appearance, the long-promised guesting that didn't make it into launch. And what this means is that you will be able to play with your friends on another world within the same region, within North America, within Europe. There was some debate there as whether or not that was going to happen, whether you'd be able to play with people in Europe and such. But it seems it isn't so. Just within North America, it is free, but going forward to transfer homeworlds will now cost you a fee.
And that's the bigger part of the story, at least in my mind, that people now, particularly in the World v. World arena, you've got to settle on a server, and now you're stuck there no matter how that server does, unless you want to pay for it. So, and that's going to help the World v. World game finally even out. People can't just jump, oh, we got our butts handed to us by server X, so I'm going to go jump over there and be on their team this week.
Yeah, exactly. We saw a lot of that, and we're seeing, even now with this announcement coming out, we're seeing a lot of teams moving. Isle of Jamthir, who wasn't a Tier 1 server to begin with, but ended up being a Tier 1 because a bunch of people moved there and made an alliance there. They went up to Tier 1, and now that whole thing broke up, and they're off on other servers. You can see it in Manguma and Caning. The last week just completely dominated, like, several times. I now know that there are 695 available potential points because both these servers did that to their opponents last week, which is scary. So,
that's what happens when you get those world class guilds that are set up, and they got a whole structure to them and a leadership, and they play World v World all the time, make sure there are people in there at nights, and they leave. See ya.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes up. I imagine we'll see Isle of Jantir come crashing past us at some point on Dark
Haven. I don't know. We're in Dark Haven, so.
Yeah, well, at some point.
We got a ways to go.
I'm wondering, well, they're coming down. Isle of Jantir is coming down because that's where everyone exodus from. So I imagine at some point, my question is, are we going to see them 1 week, or are they just going to skip us entirely? And drop two tiers, which I've seen happen, so it's not out of the question.
So, but for those of who do listen in our Darkhaven server, you know, there is an alliance on Darkhaven. We've got it together. Our guild is involved. Our server is actually starting to be relevant again in World v. World. So we're hoping to get promotion this week and get this Darkhaven server turned around. Because at one point the server was a mid tier. Yeah, server.
That's your server about three or four or five, I think. I think they topped at four.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an exodus.
Yep, and then there was exodus, and they came crashing down. But server is starting, the server's starting to get itself together. So if anybody has any last minute transfers you want to do and you hear the show, hey, Darkhaven's available.
Come on over to Darkhaven. It'd be a good time. So that wraps up the guesting and the pay to transfer. There are new utility infusions and ascended amulets. We talked about this a little bit with the laurels. There'll be 5 new utility infusions and 30 ascended amulets to choose from. So now we have the amulets and the rings and the back slot. So
they're filling it out nicely.
Yep, they're just taking a piece at a time, and eventually I imagine we'll have full ascended sets of armor. And but it's going to take us, at the rate they're going, about a year, 2 years to get there, which is fine by me. I don't mind gear progression on a pace like that. That does not bother me at all.
Aneta said they don't want to get on a gear treadmill like you get other MMOs. And every expansion, there's a new gear, better gear, better tier, better. I mean, that's how they get their players to continue to play, is that they have to give you that carrot of a new. New gear. That's Guild Wars doesn't
box mentality.
Yeah, that's not the way it is with Guild Wars. They get you to keep coming back through the events, through changing the world. Not drastically so far. I mean, I'm sure there will be some bigger changes than they've had to this point, but it's the different events every month that they do in it. So far it's been holidays, but they had Lost Shores, which wasn't a holiday event.
Yep.
And I expect more stuff like that, at least. And they've been pretty consistent about doing it monthly. January was pretty quiet after Christmas, but I think that was a good time to let people calm down. I started playing alts and going back to the beginning zone, and they kind of gave everybody a chance to get re-centralized before they kick off now this big multifaceted event that will last probably the next 3 months.
Yep. Definitely. And the last thing to come with this patch, or the last mention, the last bullet point on their website here is they've made a ton of other improvements, they say. But there's going to be enhanced performance in World v. World. I think the culling tweak we saw for a couple weeks back, where they just ran it for the 1 week and tried to change up the culling so you could see more of your enemies, and it would take some of your own players away. Mm-hmm. It seemed to go fairly well, and they're working on tweaking that. They're also tweaking the dynamic level adjustment system, which will be interesting.
Yeah, there are no details out on that yet, but we'll see what they do. So far, I've liked the side-kicking system, so I'll be interested to see what changes they make to it.
Yeah, definitely. And UI improvements, apparently. So they aren't done tinkering with the game. They're still polishing, still brushing that thing. And
One change I did talk about in World v. World that I read an interview with one of the designers is that the way they want it to work is, they're going to have it so you see your enemies will get on the screen first, and then your allies will come. But they want to use like a preloaded character model for each side, so that when you run into a large group, the system can go to that preloaded character model, and it'll load some kind of ranger, some kind of elementalist, some kind of warrior. You'll see at least that there's something there. It'll just be a generic looking one, and then as the battle's going on, the details will flow in, and the characters will get more detailed looking, but at least you'll know somebody's there at the start, and you won't have this issue where they just all of a sudden an army pops up and you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
So you might start to see some of that roll in too if you are a World v. World player. If you start to notice that the character models look a little generic for a few seconds when you encounter a large Zerg, that's what it's doing. It's just referencing those generic character models for a few seconds until it has a chance to load and help eliminate that culling issue.
Yep, definitely. We've all been there. You come around the corner and go, oh, look, a guy. And by the time you get to him, there are 40 guys there. That usually ends up with me as a thief being dead, laying on the ground.
And that's the only way he dies. Otherwise, usually, he's always alive.
I'm a slippery little bastard. I'll just say that much.
If you come across me in World v. World, I'm tanky. I don't get away very easy, and I die a lot. So,
yeah, there's been several times where we have quite a few thieves in our guild, and there's been times on TeamSpeak where it's been like, how are you still alive? It's just one of us is able to slide in and out of stealth and whatnot, avoid the stuns.
A topic for another Burning Locks will be how broken thieves are.
Okay, yeah. We've been nerfed several times, but yeah, definitely. So that's going to wrap it up for our first show here. Hope you enjoyed what you're listening to. Unfortunately, here I'd normally give you a Gmail address and a Twitter account, but I haven't created any of this stuff yet. This came together fairly quickly, so I've been your host, JC. He's been Rick. We'll see you next time.
Adios.
Hey everyone, this is JC, adding this little addendum on the end of the podcast here. We now have a Gmail account, which is burninglocks@gmail.com, and a Twitter account, @burninglocks. Fear Not This Night was written by Jeremy Soule and remixed by Plasma 3 Music. No copyright infringement is intended.